If you'd like to open your Bibles, if you have one, to Luke chapter 1, I'm going to read from verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful so to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." A few months ago, Riley and I received a phone call from our son David, who lives in Southampton. It was to tell us that all being well, we would become grandparents in January. And we were absolutely delighted. And of course, we were amongst the first to know, since it was the very early stages of pregnancy. We were great. It was great to get the announcement. Very exciting. But you know that God gives out birth announcements before the baby is conceived. He doesn't have to wait. And many times in the Bible record of God's people, God has given the birth announcement before the baby has been conceived. Just think about it. If you read any part of the Old Testament, that was the case with Abraham and Sarah. About this time next year, obviously not yet conceived. And it was the case before Samson was born. the angel came to his parents and told them about it. And so we could go on in many other cases. You know, when we look at this story of Mary, we need to put it in the whole context of the way God was working for his people in throughout history. Not just at that particular time. If you look at the Old Testament, and it's a great story, if you haven't read it all the way through, do it. It's good. You'll see that when God wanted to do something great, more often than not, the story starts off with the birth of a baby. It does. Just think about when God's people were languishing in slavery in Egypt, and God wanted to save them, where does it start? Moses, an extraordinary baby. And we can say that many times. So we shouldn't be surprised when God is going to do something extraordinary for his people. It starts with the birth of a baby. Actually, not one baby, but two. If you read Luke chapter 1, you'll know the first part of the chapter is Luke's account of how the first announcement of the birth of a child to Elizabeth and Zachariah. They were an elderly couple. Everyone thought they had their last chance. No more kids. Well, they hadn't got any, and they weren't going to get any. They were too old. But God had other plans. And if you know the chapter, God sent his angel Gabriel, the same one who went to Mary, and he appeared to Zachariah, who was an elderly man, a priest serving in the temple there, in the holiest of holiest. And he said, you're going to give birth. And Zachariah said, I don't believe you. Just to cut the story short. And he got struck dumb. But the baby did come, even though it seemed absolutely impossible. And his name was John the Baptist. We call him John the Baptist. He was the one who was going to herald the coming of the Lord. But we're going to concentrate on the second announcement. Because the same angel went to what was probably a 13-year-old girl. And it was very common in those days that they were betrothed. Girls, Jewish girls were betrothed as early as 13. So she was very young. And Gabriel went there. And he'd been already to Zachariah and Elizabeth, but this was different. You see, I'll tell you how it was different. The angel Gabriel said to Elizabeth and Zachariah, your prayers have been answered, right? Because they'd been praying. And when the baby was born, they had a party. The neighbors came around, and wow, God has done great things for you. When the angel went to Mary, he didn't say, God has answered your prayers, because certainly, as without the marriage being happened actually in reality, she wasn't praying to become pregnant. And to become pregnant when you're just engaged or betrothed to your beloved is not a cause to call the neighbors round. No, it's a scandal. So his message to Mary was different. He said, God has called you, Mary, to a special task. It was a calling. And the angel Gabriel started off by saying, the Lord is with you. It's the same words that an angel said to Gideon when he wanted to appoint Gideon to do that task. The angel says again to Mary, the Lord is with you. And Mary kind of gulps, I think, and wonders, me? Just like Gideon did, actually. Gideon did the same thing. He gave all the reasons why you shouldn't choose him. And Mary didn't give all those reasons, but she was surprised. Just think about it. Probably 13 years old. From Nazareth. Now, Nazareth, whatever the hymns say, was just a little hamlet, basically. It had about a dozen houses in it. They were built into the hillside. It was nowhere on the map, basically. It was a little place. You could pass by without hardly noticing it. So why had God sent his angel, Gabriel, to this 13-year-old teenager to give her a message? It seems incredible. And it was. But that's the way God does things. Now, Gabriel had told Zechariah, he says, I got this message because I stand in the presence of God. So when the angel Gabriel stood before Mary, guess what? She was afraid. You see, I don't know if you're... Are you having a nativity play here? Sort of, yeah. Well, we're having one at the chapel, and we'll probably have our angel in a sweet little girl dressed in white, tinsel. It's lovely. But angels were not like that, of course. They were frightening. And the Bible presents them as male. And Mary was frightened. The angel said, "Do not be afraid." And she wondered what was going on. She thought, "Well, am I in trouble?" But God said, "No, you found favor with God. Actually, God loves you. And he's got something special for you to do." And he said, you're chosen to carry in your womb the one who's going to be called the Son of the Most High." It was a privilege. Just imagine it, apart from getting so used to the Christmas story, we can sometimes dismiss it. But imagine what an amazing gift that is. God is going to trust you with his Son in your womb. It's incredible. And it was just a 13-year-old girl who got chosen to do it. She got given that special task. Now, I want to make this practical, not just talk about Mary. I want to talk about us. And Mary's reply was, "I am your servant." I just love it. It's a lovely way to respond. You know, "God, whatever you want, I'm ready." Now, I don't suppose many of us have that feeling we've been called by God to a special task, out of the ordinary, I mean, right? Except if you're a woman and you're married and you've been called to motherhood, that is special still. Whoever said, what was the name of the child who said earlier on that the gift of Jesus was to Mary? It was correct. It's a great gift. And motherhood is a calling. Oh, so can actually being single, as they say, be a calling as well. I don't think, I know some people really get et up about what God's calling for them. They will ask difficult questions. As a pastor, I've received those questions. Well, what is God calling me to do? And people can get, sometimes young people get very twisted up about what is God calling them to do. Do you know what I tell them? I said, when God wants you to do something, he'll make it plain to you. But right now, he's called you to be in relationship with him where you are. Where you are right now, if you're a student. That's where you're called to be for God right now. Or if you're a house husband or a housewife, God has called you there. Or in that job, even though you think it's boring as anything, God has called you. I won't go into all the biblical justification for that, but I think you can find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. When you get home, read it. He talks to slaves who are so wondering if they can serve God as slaves. They ought to desperately find a way to get free. And God says, serve God where you are. He talks to people who are uncircumcised and wondered if they're kind of inferior. They really need to get circumcised because they're uncircumcised before they can serve God. He said, no. Right now, God has called you to where you are. And we are called. The important thing is not to go fretting about where God is calling you to do some special task, but to say where you are to God the same thing that Mary said. I am your servant. What do you want me to do? I think you'll find that God is quite communicative when you say that to him. I am your servant. That was Mary's call. Then, Mary's faith. The angel said to her, "Blessed." No, it wasn't the angel. It was Elizabeth, her relative. "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord, that what the Lord has said to her would be accomplished." Mary believed. Now, you know, she believed God for the impossible. Because that's what the angel said, "For nothing is impossible with God." And amazingly, this 13-year-old girl from this obscure hamlet, Nazareth, She believed the angel. Nothing is impossible with God. Even that she, who had not known a man, that somehow the Holy Spirit was going to do his creative work in her, overshadow her, the Bible says, and she would become pregnant. Now, teenagers, teenage girls, teenage boys, they don't normally believe that sort of tripe. Have you ever talked to them about the virgin birth? A group of unchurched teenagers? Right? I have. And they say, what are you talking about, Nick? Right? But this girl believed God. And that's why it's worth celebrating her faith. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her would be accomplished. She did. She believed that nothing was impossible with God. Now, I said I want to make it practical. I want to just say here that I find that many of us Christians somehow say it in reverse. God, that's impossible. You can't do that. And we're put to shame by Mary. I went to, when I was doing deputation ministry as an OMF missionary, I went to a church in Wales. I won't tell you where. And it was a men's meeting. And I said, God is great and he can do great things. Do you know what they told me? God has given up on Wales. Because of the Welsh revival, you see, we rejected him after that and he's not going to do anything. I was lost for words for once. I mean, really? God has given up on us? No. We can sometimes say it. My neighbor will never become a Christian. You're telling God what's impossible? Or, we're only a small church. No, we're not going to grow. Telling God what's impossible? I hope not. I think sometimes we just have to let go of that and trust God to do something. Then this Mary, I want to say a bit more about Mary. You see, because Mary decided to visit her relative Elizabeth because she had heard from the angel Gabriel that she was 6 months pregnant, and before she'd been barren, old and barren, and now she was with child. So Mary went to visit her. And as soon as she steps into the room, Mary steps into Elizabeth's house. The baby inside, Elizabeth, does his job. He jumps. Because after all, he was to herald the coming of the Messiah. And so there he does. Even before he gets out of the womb, he does it. He jumps. And then Elizabeth comes out with this spirit-filled song. Spirit-filled words, rather, in a loud voice. And she blesses Mary. Now, why does she bless her? Because, well, just think about it. Actually, Elizabeth is this being disloyal to her husband? She said, saying, blessed is she who believed. Because why? Because her husband heard the news and he couldn't accept it. Even though he'd been a believer for years and years and years. This 13-year-old girl, or however old she was very young, put that man of mature years in the faith to shame. Now, sometimes we may think that there's prejudice inside our society. But I think sometimes there's prejudice inside our churches. The old can think about the young. They're not ready for anything yet. I heard one lady talking about her own experience that she'd gone to a church and they baptized a whole group of teenagers, and then some of them later on had stopped following the Lord. And her conclusion was, you mustn't baptize anyone too young. What? Have you never heard of older people getting baptized and sometimes not going on? That sounds a bit of ageism to me. God can use us whatever age we are. And that works the other way around. Think you're too old? You're not. God doesn't... The important thing is not your age. I keep on saying to myself, I'm too old to work with the children and young people. But still, I'm older than I was, and I'm still working with the youth and the young people, and somehow or the other they like me. But are you never too old? And then, are you the wrong gender? You know, I've been to churches where sometimes the women are protesting because they're not allowed to do anything. But I've gone to other churches where women believers don't want to do anything because they kind of say, I'm only a woman. Does the gender make so much difference? Well, look at this, you see. There it is. The man who should be believing and taking the lead fails. And the young girl believes. And God uses her. It's not about age or gender. You know, later on, forgive me if I'm stepping on some toes, but I mean to, don't I? So Acts chapter 2, where Paul talks about the coming of the Holy Spirit, and he says, let's get this right. He quotes Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. What is that? It's abolished everything, hasn't it? Old and young, men and women, all used by God. And Luke does it on purpose. In Mary's song, what does he say? He says, he has filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich empty away. He's brought down rulers from their thrones. God loves to turn things upside down. And Luke just shows it in his gospel. You know, it's not the important thing about age or gender. It's about whether we are willing to take God at his word. Are you ready to do it? Right, let's go on. That's Mary's call. It's Mary's faith. What about Mary's joy? And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour. You know, Mary had been given a daunting task. She must have realized it from the start, that she was not going to have a friendly gathering with the neighbors when the child was born. There was too much scandal attached to it. She must have realized her husband would not respond well when he heard that she was pregnant. And he didn't. Matthew's gospel says he made plans to divorce her originally. And then only when an angel appeared to him in a dream did he drop that idea to divorce her quietly. And yet Mary must have realized that. Even a 13-year-old, you still know the way of things. But she says, my spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour. He has remembered the humble state of his servant. And she was just full of it. Full of joy. Of course, she had not realized the half of it. Simeon, and there's a good example of an elderly man who really believed God, told her later on, he said, a sword is also going to pierce your heart as well. She hadn't known the half of the suffering that was going to come with this job, this great privilege. And yet she was rejoicing there. She knew part of it. She didn't know the whole of it. And she was so full of joy. I've had chats with some people during the course of my pastoral duties. And some people, Christians, have suffered a lot. One lady told me recently she had a terrible year. Well, not just one year, actually 2 years. Everything had gone wrong for her. She even asked me if God hated her, because sometimes she thought, even in her worst moments, that perhaps God did. Everything had gone wrong for her. And she said, am I going crazy? Is this unusual? I said, no, it's not unusual. Christians do think like this when things go bad. Yeah. But I said, you can be sure of this. You're God's child. God loves you. You're his daughter. And he's got a great future for you. Even if it's rough now. And, you know, I said to her, I can't find anywhere in the Bible where God promises us who love him that it's going to be a nice and easy ride. Can you find it there? No, I can't find it. But in the Christian life, following Jesus, joy and pain somehow go hand in hand. They're the two sides of one coin of following Jesus. Don't you think that was the case for Mary? It was. Great joy and pain also. It was the case with Jesus, wasn't it? Jesus was often full of joy, filled with the Spirit. But he also had to go to the cross, and he had many sufferings during his ministry. You can't kind of put a knife between them for us Christians. Our calling, we are called into fellowship with Jesus Christ, and we believe God, but it involves both the joy of it, the extreme privilege of it, and sometimes the pain. But in the end, it's a story that ends well. I hope I don't sound like pie in the sky, because I don't think we'll be talking about pie in the sky when we get to the other side. No way. What God has got prepared for us, and what he's even doing now when he's in our lives. Well, I want to leave this challenge with you, that we are called like Mary. We are called to be with God where we are right now. We are called, like Mary, to exercise the most important thing in our life, faith, to believe God. Doesn't matter what your age or gender is. And thirdly, I think you'll find in following Christ, in doing what God wants you to do, there's going to be great joy. But you can't divorce it from the pain. This is part and parcel of it. Don't be surprised when it happens. We're going to sing now. Number 529. It's an adaptation of Mary's song, Tell Out My Soul. Number 529. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great joy that we have in belonging to you. We thank you that we know we are your children. You have bought us. You love us. And we are in relationship with you. Father, we thank you that we are called to the place where we are now to be your servants. We pray, Lord God, that you will help us to go on in faith, to believe you, just like you want us to. And for you to use us and to enable us to give you joy as well. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.